This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to our class of Aqidah. Today, inshallah, we will discuss the books of the Aqidah, the books of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, their writings. Last time, we mentioned few books that were written according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And also we mentioned that there are lots of books. There are many people who wrote books according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now, we notice that there is a unique thing about the writings of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because even other people, the deviant sects, they also wrote their own books to rationalize, to strengthen their opinions. They wrote other books. So you may read some book according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and you may read some books according to the people of Bid'ah, the deviant sects. But you will notice that there is something different, always. And you could tell from the first page, from the second page, you could tell that this is according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So what is that thing? The greatest thing that distinguishes the writings of the people of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that they base everything they say, on the Qur'an and the Sunnah. That's why they are called Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Which means they may write a statement and they quote an ayah right away, or a hadith, to validate what they are saying, to prove that what they said is correct. They always do that. And therefore, most of the writings of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is the same. There is no difference of opinions, because they go back to the same source. While the deviant sects, in every sect itself, you will find difference in opinions, because they don't have the same source that they refer to, unlike Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now this is one thing. The other thing, which is very important, in the books of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you find ayat, a hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You may not cross one page without 2, 3, 4 ayat. And compare, take the books of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah and you will find this. While the books of Ahlul Bid'ah, because they are talking against the Book of Allah, against the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you may read 50 pages, sometimes you may read 50 pages without one ayah. So what are they mentioning? They just try to rationalize what they are saying. This is an example and this is the proof, and they start saying things which has nothing to do with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a book, 200 pages. In the 200 pages you have 3 ayat only. So how can you say this is correct opinion or this is a correct writing? While Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they use the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you may not find one page without mentioning ayah or hadith to prove their point. And that's why the other quality that they have, they don't have disagreements, and they base their opinions on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the major points, the important points that will tell you the difference between the writings of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the writings of Ahlul Bid'ah, the writings of the people of the deviant sects. Now we will have the major divisions of writings. Now, the writings of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are divided in general to 4 types, 4 categories. They are not the same. There are 4 different categories for the writings of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We have first general writing. General writing. What do we mean by that? it includes all chapters of Aqeedah. So if you wanted to know Aqeedah Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah from A to Z, you will go to these types of books. Do we have an example? Yes, we do. We have several examples. One of the books is called Al-Sharia. Al-Sharia means the religion. Al-Sharia for Imam Al-Ajurri. It is six big volumes. He talks about the Aqeedah from A to Z. Belief in Allah, messengers, how to deal with the ruler, and all these chapters of Aqeedah. The second type of writing is the specific writings. What do we mean by specific writing? You write about one topic of Aqeedah. Aqeedah is a religion. It is big, very wide and vast. But you choose one topic and you write about this topic. What's the example we have about this type of writings? We have many examples. One of them is the Book of Iman. The Book of Iman, the Book of Faith. Now the Book of Iman deals with what? It deals with the issue of Iman only. It doesn't deal with other issues. Now the issue of Iman is very big, very important, but it's not everything. It is not everything. There are other chapters. So once you see that this book is talking about only the issue of Iman, that means this is a specific writing. So we have general writing, all the chapters of Aqeedah, and we have specific writing. Then we have the Rudud. Rudud means replies, answers. When you refute a claim for a deviant person, or someone who's ignorant, who doesn't know. This is called Rad. What do we mean by Rad? You notice that there is a group of people, they are doing something wrong. And they attribute this to the religion. They say this is the religion. So you want to caution the people, or to caution them who are doing this, to remind them that this is wrong. So you write a letter, or a book, or anything. Your job here is to refute what they are saying, to tell them that this is wrong. So you are not talking about a specific chapter, you're not talking about the Sharia in general. Your main objective here is to convince them that this is wrong, or to convince the people who may be deceived by them, or who may think that what they are doing is correct, to convince them that this is wrong. That's what we mean by Rudud. And we have, again, we have several examples for Rudud. Like Radd al-Darimi ala Bishr al-Marisi. Al-Imam al-Darimi, rahimahullah, he is one of the scholars of Hadith. But he is also a scholar of Aqeedah. He wrote a book against Bishr al-Marisi, against the Mu'tazila. He wrote a book against Al-Jahmiyyah. And there are many other books. Your job in this book is to caution the people against something wrong. That's what we mean by Rudud. Then we have the last type of writing, the writings of the scholars of Hadith. What do we mean by that? We have Sahih al-Bukhari, we have Sahih Muslim, we have Sunan al-Tirmidhi, we have Sunan al-Nasai, we have Sunan ibn Majah, we have Sunan Imam Ahmad, we have Sunan al-Darimi, we have Muwatta of Imam Malik. All these writings, now it's not a book of Aqeedah, it is not a book of Aqeedah. They don't talk about a specific chapter. It is a book of Hadith. They quote a Hadith of the Messenger ﷺ. But they collect specific Hadith about the Aqeedah in a specific chapter. So let's say Sahih al-Bukhari, it has the book of Iman. There is a book of Iman. Also there is a book of Tawheed. What happens here? They come to the Hadith, which is talking about, these Hadith are talking about this chapter, so they list them all together in one chapter. The objective is to give you the belief that this is the belief, the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, he started his book with Kitab al-Iman also. The beginning of the Sahih Muslim, Kitab al-Iman. So here, it's not a book of Aqeedah, not a general book, not a specific book. not Rad, but it is the writing of a scholar of Hadith. It has the Hadith of the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these are the places, the sources for the Aqeedah, where you find the opinions of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What do they believe? What do they believe? And what are the chapters of Aqeedah? Is it specific? Is it general? These are the writings. Four types of writings. Some scholars, actually, they added more to these types. And they have seven types. Now you need only to know these four. You don't have to know all the seven ones. Now we are moving to an important topic, which is shirk, the opposite of tawheed. We already spoke about tawheed. We already mentioned the virtues, the importance of tawheed. Now we're talking about shirk. So I will ask this question: what's the most horrible sin? What is the greatest sin? It is what? Shirk. Do you have an evidence? Any evidence? He said shirk is the greatest sin. Do you agree or you disagree? If you agree, why? What's the evidence? If you disagree, why you disagree?
Surah Luqman,
what does it say?
The biggest
vulm. So it is vulm.
Yes.
Okay, what else? Yes, he does not forgive shirk. But he forgives anything else. That means shirk is the greatest sin. Because it's not forgiven. Anything else could be forgiven except for shirk. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as Babur said in Surah Luqman, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Now remember, we said the greatest sin is what? Shirk. Is it killing an innocent soul? That does not mean killing an innocent soul is okay, but which is greater? Associating partners with Allah. It is shirk. So remember that always. Some Muslims, they praise the non-Muslims. And they even love them. Now it's true, when you are just, you say that this is correct, even regardless of the one who is doing it, whether he's Muslim or non-Muslim. That's right, you have to be just. You love the correct actions they do about freedom, equity. But that does not mean you love them more than Muslims. A Muslim is a Muslim, no matter whatever he did. So, shirk once is committed, then nothing will benefit if you remain on shirk. The scholars say there is no disobedience behind kufr. Once you disbelieve, that's it. I'm telling this because some people, they may talk about Muslims who are believers, who believe in Allah, and they don't commit shirk. Yet they have some wrong actions. Some people talk about them very, very bad, while they will never talk about the non-Muslims. Some people, if they lost $100, it is as if they lost part of their body. But if shirk is committed, they don't care. If zina is committed, they feel horrible. It is a horrible thing, which is good, which is correct. But if the shirk was committed, they will not care. So they care about minor sin, not minor, major, but lesser sin, while they don't care about a greater sin. So we have to correct our standards according to our religion, according to the Quran and the Sunnah. Whatever Allah made greatest, we have to make it the greatest sin. We have to make it in that level. If we believe that any sin is greater than shirk, then we are not applying the correct standards. Someone may steal, which is bad. But it is worse to
to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing will be worse than that. So it is important to know what is the worst thing to avoid and what is the best thing to do. Now, we said shirk and we mentioned association, but what's the definition of shirk? What's the definition of shirk? Linguistically, in the language, have you heard this word before in Arabic? Shirk? Sharika. Have you heard the word sharika? In Arabic, shirk means to mix. يَخْلِطُ. And it means, it is a verb and a noun. Noun means share, portion. That's the meaning of shirk. To share and a share, both. From that root came the word sharika, company. Why do we say company? Because it's not one person who owns it. It's a group. Partnership, so it is shirk. They are partners. They are mixing their assets, their capital. So that's what we mean by shirk. Here is the question. Now, when we spoke about shirk and we said it is the greatest injustice and we say that the shirk is a horrible sin, you should always avoid it, someone would come and say, the shirk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned is when you equalize a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you say Isa is like God, then this is shirk. If you give him 50%, this is shirk because they are mixing. But if you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 90% and you worship other God for 10%, then this is allowed. That does not mean it is shirk. Do you agree or do you disagree with this? What do you think? Shirk has to be equalizing. Which ayah?
There's an ayah that says that worship is only for Allah.
Okay.
But equalizing it. Nobody's equal to Allah.
Yeah, we're not saying you equalize by in reality, but let's say you worship Allah for 8 hours and you sleep for 8 hours, you eat for 4 hours and you waste 3 hours, there is 1 hour left. This hour you give it to other God. What do you think? Or you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control in everything except for that small thing. It is not in His control, it's in the other hand's control. You cannot? Yes, shahada. Very good, Omar.
But the Zakir says the proof is in Surah 5, verse 72.
What does it say, Zakir? Now, here's the question. Does shirk require equality? They have to be equal? Let's talk about the company. Couldn't you own a share in company with 2 shares only, 2%, 3%? Could you or couldn't you?
Yes.
Yes, so it's still called what? Sharika, company, right? So it's not equal, 50-50, but it is still called sharika. So what do we do here? What do we say? We say that shirk does not require equality. As long as there is any type of shirk involved, then it is shirk. But do we have an evidence from our religion that proves what we're saying? Do we have an evidence? What do you think? There is a hadith.
Was a little bit, even a bit of
أنا أغنى الأغنياء عن الشرك. I am in the least need of association. Whoever does something in which he associates with me, that deed is all his. أنا أغنى الأغنياء عن الشرك. من عمل عملا أشرك فيه غيري تركته وشركه. What does that tell you? If people cannot accept 40-60 ratio, they have to have 90%. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even if you give me 99%, I will not take it. It has to be 100%. أنا أغنى الأغنياء عن الشرك. من عمل عملا أشرك فيه غيري تركته وشركه. Yeah, it is hadith Qudsi. You understand? Now back again, what's the definition of shirk? What does it mean? Association? What does it mean, shirk? Could someone tell me, or we shall move on? What if you did not associate, yet you still doing shirk?
Worship someone.
Worship someone. That's the definition of shirk. Diversion of any type of worship to other than Allah. صرف نوع من العبادة لغير الله. That is the definition of shirk. Diversion of any type. Now all ibadah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِ وَنُسُكِ وَحَيَامَاتِ إِلَىٰهِ رَبِ الْعَالَمِينَ. All my ibadah is to Allah. So if you divert any of this ibadah to other than Allah, then you committed shirk. That's what, how do we define shirk. صرف نوع من العبادة لغير الله. Now we will move to the divisions of shirk. Because we have divisions of shirk. In general, shirk is divided to two types. Just like the company, we have corporate, we have small business company, we have large companies. We have two divisions of shirk in general, major and minor. We have major shirk and we have minor shirk. Why? Now we said shirk, even if it's 1% to other than Allah, it's not accepted. But why we have major and minor? Why don't we have one type of shirk? Shirk is one. You do it, you committed shirk. Why do we have two divisions? Or what's the evidence that, yes, it's true, we have two types of shirk? Do you remember any ayah or any hadith? Now, this is very important. This is very important. It's not enough to know tawheed. Many people, they know what is tawheed, but they don't know what is shirk. If you cannot distinguish between the correct and the wrong, you may fall into the wrong while you don't know. So, what do we say? What's the evidence? Yes.
Brother Abdullah says the hadith of the ant on the rock in the black night.
Okay. What about the hadith of the rock on the black night? The Prophet ﷺ said, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْهِ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ. So there is Asghar and Akbar. There is minor and there is major. The thing that I fear most for you is the minor shirk. And this is in Musnad of Imam Ahmad. This is in Musnad of Imam Ahmad. What's the point of the hadith? Again, learn always. You mention a hadith, do not expect the hadith to speak for itself. You have to mention the point. In this hadith, what do we learn?
Shirk would be
Minor shirk. You just said minor shirk. So the Prophet ﷺ, when says minor, that tells you there is what? Major. If it's only one, why would he say minor? There's no need if it's only one. Once the Prophet ﷺ said minor, that means there is major. There is major. Okay. Now another thing, another issue. The punishment of the shirk. We already said that shirk, if you disassociate partner, if you associate partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will happen? What will happen? If you associate partner? Hellfire, forever. So this is a punishment of shirk. What else? That's the first point. If you commit shirk, you will be admitted to hellfire forever. But we know that minor shirk is what? Minor shirk, if someone committed minor shirk, is he going to be in hellfire forever? Is he or isn't he?
No.
No, so there is difference. Once we say no, there is difference between major and minor. So, major shirk will cause you to enter hellfire forever. What else? It nullifies your deeds. So your deeds are not valid anymore. Yes, we can say about non-Muslims that, alhamdulillah, they have good character, but it will not help them in the Day of Judgment. Whatever you do, if it will not help you to enter paradise in the Day of Judgment, then you should not do it. No matter what people say, it will not help you. So it will nullify your deeds. Do you have any evidence for that? Exactly, very good. لَيْنْ أَشْرَكْتَ وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَيْنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُهُ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. This is another thing which is forbiddance from entering paradise. So your deeds will be nullified. You will be in hellfire forever. You will never be entering paradise. While the minor shirk, do you have all these things? No. You may be punished and you may be forgiven. You may be thrust in hellfire for a specific amount of time, but definitely, eventually, you will be in paradise. But now this is the question. Since we mentioned that they are different, there is a huge difference between an act which if you did, it will not help you anything else, and an act if you did, it will be a sin, but you are able to remove it. You may be forgiven. How can we differentiate between the two? How can we know when you read something or you hear something, you say this is not the major shirk? So if someone did it, he will not be in hellfire forever. How can you do that? We have in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala some words like inna shirka. Indeed, the shirk. It's not a shirk. It is the. So it's something specific, which is what? Major shirk. Now, minor shirk is injustice, but it's not great injustice. The major shirk is great injustice. Why? Al. Al. All. Ash-shirk. Inna ash-shirka. Indeed, the shirk. Allah did not say, indeed, ash-shirk or any shirk. It is specific. Another way to differentiate, if we have the Prophet ﷺ himself telling us that this is minor. Like here he said, the thing that I fear most is shirk, minor shirk. And he said riya. So you know that riya is what? Minor shirk, it's not major. Another method, when you know that if someone did it, he may be punished, but he will not be forever in hellfire. This is another method in which you will be able to know whether this person will be forgiven or he will be punished. So we have three easy methods to differentiate between major shirk and minor shirk. Any shirk came with al, the shirk means it is major. In general, now sometimes again there are still some exceptions, but in general, the evidence is the ayah inna shirka. Another example, when the Prophet ﷺ says about something explicitly minor, that means it is minor. Or you know the punishment is not hellfire forever, but rather it is for a short time, that means it is minor. With this we will close our session inshallah. Is there any question about major and minor shirk?
I have a question concerning shirk.
Yes.
What if there is a person that who is associating partners with Allah but then realizes the truth that there's one God and then he converts to Islam, is he forgiven?
Okay, actually that was part of the assignment. But I did not want to give it to you. Even this assignment, it's not assignment anymore. I answered the question. This is a question. What if someone committed shirk and he repented? Is he going still to be punished for the shirk? Yes or no?
No.
Why? Didn't Allah say Allah will not forgive shirk?
Yes, before death.
What?
Before death, you can ask for forgiveness.
Before death, you can ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile with the ayah? The ayah says shirk will not be forgiven.
You find out he did the shirk and he doesn't do it again, then it's forgiven.
It is forgiven if you don't do it again.
Yeah.
Even if you don't repent.
Yeah, after repenting, yeah.
Why after repentance it is forgiven? The ayah does not say.
I mean, he could ask for it, but then others do.
Well, Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Tell the disbelievers, if they stop, they ask for forgiveness, they will be forgiven. Everything they did. The Messenger ﷺ told Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anh, when he came to give him the pledge. Amr ibn al-As, when he extended his hand, then he took it back. And he asked the Messenger ﷺ, he told him, I want to make a condition. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, what condition? He said, I want all my sins to be forgiven. Prophet ﷺ, didn't you know? He told him, didn't you know that all your sins will be forgiven by entering Islam? So that means all sins are forgiven. And we have the ayah in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not be desperate of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. All sins. Because what's the point to become a Muslim if your shirk will not be forgiven? If you will be forever in hellfire? What's the point? Then do not become a Muslim. If it's the same, why you accept Islam? So, is this understood? What about minor shirk? If someone did not repent, is it forgiven or it's not forgiven?
No.
If someone did not forgive, no. You agree or you disagree? Now, minor shirk, is it a major sin or minor sin? It's a major sin. Although it is minor shirk, but it is a major sin. Again, the question, is it forgiven or not?
Yes.
Yes, it is forgiven.
Yes.
Why?
Because of your good deeds.
Huh?
Maybe because of your other good deeds.
So, you're just telling me that pray, fast, and do the ibadah in excess for one day, the second day, go drink and whatever, because you have extra ibadah, so you'll be forgiven. What do you think?
You did tawbah?
You did not do tawbah. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذِبْنَ السَّيَّاتِ. Good, now that's, I like this. He's quoting an ayah. Indeed, the good deeds erase the bad deeds. Does this apply to shirk? Because that was part of the assignment actually, and I did not give it to you.
One of the Sahaba said that, one of the scholars gave explanation, like when you say astaghfirullah, or something, it erases like some things you don't know. You might not know that you committed the shirk, so...
Yeah, but...
By just saying it, you might have
some
of those forgiven. Because you didn't realize you committed it.
Well, in general, all the major sins will not be forgiven without repentance. Now, even if you don't know them, but you're asking for forgiveness for something. So some scholars said, shirk will never be forgiven if you don't repent from it. It will never be forgiven for any reason. Because of the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Others said, even if you don't repent, you will be forgiven. Or they don't say you will be, but they say you may be. You may be, because Allah says, Allah forgives all sins. So you deserve the punishment, but you may be forgiven. Other scholars said, no, you will be punished, since you committed shirk. So we have two opinions in this matter, whether minor shirk is forgiven or not. Any other question? Any other question? With this, we will conclude our session, inshallah. Hadha wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in.